Well, can I thank the Reverend Patterson the session here for inviting me to come and to give my testimony. And it's good to be here and to share what I've done in my life. Of course, it's a humbling thing to give your testimony because it is only of God's grace, and that is something that we must all keep in mind as we hear a testimony, that it is the Lord's work that we are recognizing. If you could turn with me to Romans chapter 10, and we'll read some verses that are very meaningful to me and to my testimony. Romans chapter 10, and we'll read together from verse 9 down to the verse 13. Romans chapter 10 and the verse 9, and the Word of God says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. As has been said, I come from Australia. I grew up there, and my parents, my mum and dad, were both saved. My father was saved at university. My mother was brought up in a Christian home, and she was saved as a young girl. And so when they married, they both determined to seek to raise a godly generation. And I had four brothers and a sister. I was the youngest. And my earliest recollections of home were of time spent around the Word of God. My father always, every dinner time after the meal, opened up the Word of God and taught us and prayed with us. Sunday mornings would have been spent reading the scriptures and talking about it, discussing it. And so the atmosphere in which I grew up was one where the Word of God was freely part of our lives. It wasn't something that was forced or something that we did out of mere duty, but it was part of our lives. My father was a farmer, and so farming life was what I grew up with as well. I could remember as a young child around the age of six having some concern of soul and speaking to my parents about this, and I made a profession at that time. And yet I look back upon my life at that time and I recognize that my life at that time didn't experience a change. And something that was very obvious was parental faith had not become personal faith. And while it was a great blessing to have had the Word of God taught to me as it was, yet it was true that I hadn't myself come to personal faith in Christ. And the reason I knew that that was not the case, even though many people around me thought that I was saved, my family went to church each week, I was there at every meeting listening to the Word of God, and I'm sure that there were quite a number of people who thought that I was saved, and yet there were certain things about my life at that time that characterized my lack of spirituality and the lack of change in my life. And these were things that I knew full well about. A number of things that stand out to me was I really didn't like prayer meetings. I can remember as a young child in prayer meetings and really not enjoying it, wishing I was somewhere else, thinking about what I was going to do the next week. And some of you youngsters here, your sport is something that we all enjoy, and I would have been sitting in the prayer meeting thinking about the sport that I was going to play on the weekend and those types of things. Last place that I wanted to be was a prayer meeting. And certainly the Bible was a neglected book. If it was not for my parents reading the Word of God to me, I would have grown up not even reading the Bible. I didn't have a desire for it, and certainly didn't spend any time with it. I can recall many times sitting in a scenario just like this in a church service, and God's word was being preached, and I was very bored, to say the least, completely disinterested, and didn't want to be there. And so these things, I knew that to be a Christian that had a desire for God and for his word and wanted to pray, and these things were certainly not there. And another thing that really stood out to me was I was very fearful of questions like this: how did you get saved? Or are you saved? I can recall some elderly gentlemen in the church we attended confronting me at times and saying, "Are you saved?" And I said yes, and I had my story that I made a profession. And I can remember that I wasn't convinced with my own story, and I hated being challenged like that, because it sent certainly a conviction through my heart, and I knew that while I was saying these things, I wasn't really genuine. And so the idea of someone challenging me as to my spiritual state certainly was something that I didn't want to have. I had no assurance, and I was living an outwardly good Christian life, but I had no genuine and sincere heart. And if it was not for the restraint of my parents upon me taking me to church, I fear where I would have ended up. And that's a challenge to each one here who's brought up in a Christian home. And, oh yes, it's a great blessing, but there has to be faith yourself. While it's a wonderful blessing to have parents who know and love the Lord, that guarantees you nothing. And while you may live in that environment and share in the blessing of that, you have to come to a point in your life where you yourself believe these things and take it to yourself and are convicted of it. And if all your life is merely following on in what your parents do rather than actually doing it for yourself, then you're not a Christian. And that is so often the case, is it not, that young people grow up in a Christian home and they're in this atmosphere, and then they go to college or university and they're challenged about their faith and they fall to pieces because they've never truly been saved and they've never truly known the Lord. But God was gracious to me. In the year of 2012, a group of evangelists came to our local area and held open-air meetings in the town. And this was something that I had never encountered before. Open-air preaching is a very rare thing in Australia. It's not really done hardly at all. I'd never knew that such a thing could even happen. And these men came down and they started to hold meetings in the town and to preach in the open air. And my family, along with myself, went along to support them. And I was really convicted under the preaching. The men were focusing upon certain subjects like sin and hell, the need to be saved, Christ as the only Savior, his righteousness, his power to save. And I had never been confronted with such convicting and powerful preaching in my life. And up to that point in my life, whenever I had sat in and heard the word of God being preached, I had been able to put it to the side. And while I may have been convicted for a little time, I had been able to get over it. But this time the word of God came in power to me. And as I listened to the preaching, and there was a group of men, and they were preaching, and we were there standing with them, and people were walking past and making comments, and they weren't good comments, let's say. And it was very obvious as we stood with those people that we were a part of that group. Here are these men preaching the gospel, and I knew that as I stood next to those men, that people walking by would have identified me being with those people. And I didn't like that. I was ashamed to be there. I didn't want to be identified with these people. And I knew that in my heart, I truly was not of the same heart as these people. And they were testifying of Christ and of the gospel. And I knew deep within my heart that I certainly couldn't have done what they were doing. and I certainly did not have the heart that they had. And such an experience standing there on that street corner and hearing the preaching and feeling the shame within my own heart, and I realized that I was not saved. And such a state concerned me. Now, I don't have a particular time when I can point that the Lord saved me. I can only narrow it down to a 3-month period in my life after that occasion when I was under deep conviction of sin and fearful of facing God, fearful of the future, fearful of death, and certainly uncertain of whether I was saved. And I knew from what I'd been taught that I had to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of my sin. And yet, during that period of time, I was filled with great fear. And I can remember crying unto God for salvation during that time and asking Him to save me and forgive me of my sin. And I kept coming back to the verse 13 of the passage that we read, Romans 10, which says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And I remember thinking about that and crying unto God and asking Him to save me. And I wasn't sure, so during that time I kept crying and I kept asking the Lord to save me. And I wasn't sure whether or not I was saved, but I kept coming back to this and asking God, "Please save me." And God was gracious to me again, for I'm certain it was during that time that the Lord saved me. While I have no particular moment, certainly after that time period, my life changed. I can remember after that time, there was another open-air meeting being held. I was asked to come along and to testify. And as I got up and began to share what God had done in my life, I had a tremendous sense of peace and assurance and joy within my heart. And it was really then that I sensed what the Lord had done. And all of a sudden, God had put new desires into my heart. There was a change in attitude. Suddenly I had the desire to know God, a desire that I had never had before. And God put in my heart desires that naturally were not there. The Lord gave to me a desire for prayer. I can remember the first prayer meeting after that 3-month period, gathering together to pray before going out to an open-air meeting. And for the first time in my life, I sensed the presence of God like I'd never felt before, and the great joy of communing with God. The prayer meeting was now a place, and thank God still is a place that I love to be in. And all of a sudden, the Word of God became something that I wanted to read. It was something that I desired, and the verses that my parents had taught me as a child, which had meant nothing to me up to this point, all of a sudden had value. And I realized what had been given to me and had a desire to learn more of God. Something that had meant nothing before, all of a sudden was real. And the Lord also gave to me a desire to witness to others and to preach the gospel. Now, all I have to say on that is I look at those things and I realize that those are not natural desires in my heart. They're certainly not things that I wanted to do. But they are things that God has placed within my heart and given me new desires. And when I consider those things and I think of what God did there, I cannot but point to the fact that God in grace delivered me and saved me at that time. And God put these desires within my heart. Now let me emphasize that this was a natural reaction to what God had done. You see, when God makes a person a new creature, a new creation, when He transforms their heart, it has a great effect upon their lives. And a life that has been transformed within in time becomes a life that is transformed without. And so that is what happened in my life. And the Lord burdened me for evangelism and for reaching others. And for me, in many ways, I had the experience of the apostles in Acts 4, when they were before the Sanhedrin, and they said there, when they were threatened not to preach again, they said, "We cannot help but speak the things which we have seen and heard." And that really was how I felt at that time. I couldn't help but share the gospel with others and to have a heart for the lost and to preach the gospel. For that was the way that I had been reached, and I wanted to reach others. And that desire that God placed in my heart very on has led me on to places where I never expected. And as a brother alluded to earlier, it led me here to Northern Ireland. I cannot elaborate on that too much, for we'd be here all night. But God really opened doors for me. I came over here in 2014. I heard about the Free Presbyterian Church through sermon audio, found out about the college, and the Lord was burdening me at the time for service for Him, and I wanted to go to a good Bible college, and I found out about the college, and God's providence in many ways enabled me to come here. It was actually during that time that I met our brother here, came over for 5 weeks and spent a week in college, and Reverend Patterson, I think, was in his second year then, so that was some time ago. And during that time, I traveled around and visited many churches. As I said, spent a week in college and was really seeking the Lord for His will. And God made it very clear to me at that time that He was opening a door to come to college. There were many adversaries to overcome and difficulties to get there, but the Lord truly opened a door for me. And so, really, for these things to you, it shows to us that when God changes the heart, God truly transforms a person's life. The heart is the key. And when I think about my life and my testimony, my thoughts are drawn to verse 10 of Romans 10 that we read earlier. And it really summarizes my testimony. It says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Notice those words in verse 10. "For with the heart man believeth." And this verse is making it very clear to us that the defining characteristic of a Christian is a person who genuinely believes something. A person who is entirely taken up with the belief that Christ is the Savior, the only Savior, and their Savior. That is the core belief of their heart. And this belief is not merely one of outward actions and deeds, but involves their heart. You see, the Apostle Paul speaks here of believing with the heart. Believing with the heart. The heart is that part of man that responds to Christ by faith. The heart includes the mind. The mind is that which assents to the truth. The heart also includes the will, which obeys the truth. And it includes the emotions, which love the truth. And therefore, a Christian is not characterized primarily by what they do, or merely who they are, or what they believe. A Christian is a person whose heart has been transformed by the power of the gospel. You see, the Apostle Paul put it this way. He says, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." You see, a Christian is a person whose heart has been transformed. And let me put that to you tonight. Has your heart been transformed? Has the Lord changed your heart and given you new desires? A desire for Christ, a desire for Himself, that you would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Scriptures call Christians believers. The Scripture speaks of believers, for they believe in their heart that Christ is the Lord. They genuinely are convinced that He is the only one who can give to them eternal life. Is that not what we read in John chapter 6. And the verse 68, when Christ challenges Peter and he says, "Will ye also go away?" And Peter's reply is, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ." And Peter is expressing there an absolute assurance. He's convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt that Christ is the only Savior. And how can you explain that? How could you explain Peter's confession? Well, it is this: because his heart has been changed. And such a change results in the outward confession. Is that not what we read here in the verse 10? "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You see, a profession is the expression of what has happened in the heart. That's the key thing. And therefore I challenge you this evening, as the Lord challenged me, with the words of 2 Corinthians 13 and the verse 5, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith." Look into your heart tonight. Consider the state of your heart, whether your Christian life and experience is merely characterized by religious and moral activities. Is it not the case that this is where so many go wrong today? And perhaps it's the case that this is where you're going wrong. Your idea of Christianity is that it is merely living a good life. It is merely living morally, not doing any harm to anybody. Perhaps it merely involves being a religious person, going to church on the odd occasion, saying your prayers and reading your Bible. And is it not true that that is how so many view the Christian life? And yet the Word of God shows to us that such an attitude demonstrates that if you have that opinion, if you have that view, you have not grasped the vital truth that man's activity does not change the heart. It doesn't matter how hard you try, you cannot change the sinful heart that you have. You see, the only one who can change your heart is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is only when the heart is changed that man's actions will be changed. And that is, when you look at my life, that's what it tells you. You know, until my heart was changed, you could not change me at all. Or yes, I might have lived in a certain manner, but yet my heart was corrupt. Until that heart was changed by God's grace, I wasn't a Christian. And therefore I ask you the question, a most poignant question, that Jehu asked Jehonadab in 2 Kings. He asked him this question: "Is thine heart right? Is thine heart right?" Now, I can't see your heart tonight, but God sees it. God knows whether or not you are truly committed to Him or not. And you may well be able to convince others, but God truly sees the state of your heart. The Lord doesn't look as man look, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks upon the heart. And let me challenge you tonight that if your heart is not right with God, then you're going to be lost. If your heart is not right with God, then you are destined for hell. Even though you may be in this meeting tonight, even though you may attend church regularly, even though you may do all these religious deeds that I have referred to earlier, yet if it is true that your heart is not converted, that your heart is not given to Christ, and you're not a Christian. You see, the scriptures speak of an evil heart, of unbelief, and such words should send shivers through your spine tonight. For the Lord is saying this to you: unbelief demonstrates an evil heart. And therefore, if you're here in this meeting tonight, and your heart is filled with unbelief towards Christ, and unbelief towards the scriptures,
an unbelief that Christ himself is the only one that can deliver you, then you're demonstrating this truth, that you have an evil heart. You have a heart that needs to be transformed by the grace of God. You have a heart that is rebellious, a heart like Pharaoh of old, who hardened it against God, who refused to know the Lord and refused to obey the Lord. That is a heart of an individual that is destined for a lost eternity. Where is your heart, dear person, tonight? Is your heart in this state that you are fully convinced that Jesus Christ is the only Savior? You're resting upon him. You're trusting him to deliver you. Your faith is firmly placed in him. Without him, you realize that you are entirely lost. Without his grace, you would end up in hell. Is that not what we read in Genesis 7 and the verse 1? That God looked upon Noah and God looked into his heart. And he saw one who was righteous. For Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You see, when God looks into your heart tonight, what does he see? Does he see a heart that is resting upon Christ, or a heart that is rebellious? And oh yes, I hear, and your minister here, he can't see your heart, I can't see your heart. But you know, and the Lord knows. And therefore, if your heart is not right tonight, then the scriptures are telling you very clearly that it's with the heart man believeth. And you need to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. And if you do so, you will be saved. The promise that Christ extends to men and women is this, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I can certainly say this to you, that I know the difference between the two. I can look back on my life and think of when I was a young man going to church and living this life, and I knew that I wasn't saved. And I think about what God has done to me now. And dear friend, tonight there's such a difference. And what a fearful thing it is to live that kind of a life where you're assuming, you're presuming that everything's okay and you're living this formal life, and yet deep within the heart there's no love for God. You need tonight to bow in your heart to Christ, to not merely to assent to Christ in outward deeds, but to give your heart to him. Give your heart to him. I trust that God's word is challenging you. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Dear friend, that's what it means to be a Christian. It's to be a person whose heart has been changed. For the word of God tells us, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. His heart has been changed. And that's what you need tonight if you're not saved. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I leave that with you. Please do not leave the matter of your soul as something to be neglected. It is something of utmost importance that your heart would be right with God tonight. I pray you would do so in Jesus' name. Amen.